In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority. Amen. Jesus had ridden in to Jerusalem that fateful day on a donkey, all the symbolism of Zechariah's powerful prophecies of God's return to his people to do battle against the enemies of Israel. And he had ridden in to the city and then gone straight to the temple. And when he walked into the temple, chaos, you remember, had followed him. He had started to throw around the tables of the money changers. He had stopped. The whole sacrificial system came to a screeching halt. Children were running around screaming, "This is the Son of David! Save us!" And the blind and the lame and the beggars who had never been let into the temple before wandered in after Jesus and began to pollute the temple with their uncleanliness. All the hopes and expectations of the people that Jesus was the Messiah as they wanted were shattered that day. And Jesus had gone on an offensive against the temple and against Jerusalem. Jesus had cursed a fig tree the next day, you remember, and it had withered instantaneously. And he told his disciples, "If you say to this mountain in faith, be thrown into the sea, it will be." That fig tree represented the temple system and all of its oppression, that it was a den of terrorists, not a house of prayer. The authorities had confronted Jesus, wanting to get rid of him almost immediately, you remember. And they challenged him, "By what authority do you do this?" And Jesus refused to answer them straight. And he went on the offensive, telling parables against them about how they were stealing God's world, about how they were hard-hearted children who refused to obey God. And then Jesus had finished by withstanding each one of their challenges, shutting them down at each turn as they tried to catch him and trap him in his words. Right after this, we dive into our text, where Jesus' climax of his attack on the temple takes place. He shut down the authorities. They're not willing to ask him any more questions. And then Jesus turns to this great gathered crowd and his disciples, and he starts to teach them, unpacking for them why the temple is under such condemnation. He says to them, "The Pharisees, the teachers, the biblical scholars who run this temple, they sit in Moses' seat, so you should listen when they teach to you from the prophets and Moses. But don't you dare live the way they do. Don't do what they do. They're hypocrites. They tie all these great burdens on the people and then they don't even act to do them themselves. Everything that these teachers in the temple do is for show. They want to be great with status and power in the culture. They love to have the best seats at the banquets. They have their fancy robes with their prayer tassels. Oh, and they love their fancy titles. Rabbi, Rabbi. But don't you call anyone on earth Rabbi. There is one teacher, Christ, the Messiah. And don't walk around calling others Father. There is one Father, God Himself." Oh, everything they do is to lift themselves up. But I tell you, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, you must go down. Humble yourself, be a servant. For those who lift themselves up in the world will be torn down. But those who go down in the world, who humble themselves, will be lifted up. And then Jesus' anger begins to just bubble over, and he turns his ire on these biblical teachers and scholars. He says to them, "Woe, condemned are you hypocrites and blind guides who are leading the people astray. You are refusing to enter God's kingdom. And the people who want to enter God's kingdom, you're stopping them from participating in God's kingdom. Oh, you are hypocrites and blind guides. You walk around all of earth trying to convert people to your way of thinking, but when they're converted to your way of thinking, they're children of hell. Worse off than they ever were before. Oh, and you run around swearing on the wealth of the temple. You think the wealth of the temple is what matters, and you ignore the fact that God is supposed to be present in this place. Oh, and you give your tithe, you give 10%. But whoop-de-doo! You are ignoring the justice of God, the love of God, His faith that He has called you into. Oh, you spend all your time focused on little gnats, little single problems, and you're missing the whole big picture of how you've missed the boat on God's truth. Oh, and you just get worried about superficial cleansing on the outside, so you look good for people. But you're just like a tomb. You wash the outside of the tomb, but inside you're full of death and corruption, full of hypocrisy. You are blind guides leading the people astray. Oh, and you think you lift up the prophets? You think, oh, we listen to the prophets. No, you don't. You're just like your fathers who killed the prophets. You celebrate them, but you're glad they're dead because you do not obey their words. You hypocrites, blind guides leading the people astray into hell. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I wish you would have listened to God's prophets, listened to His word, and changed your lives. But you haven't. And so your temple is abandoned. Your temple is deserted. God doesn't live here. And with that, Jesus walks out of the temple for the final time. And as He's leaving, the disciples, somehow missing the boat, start talking to Jesus about the grandeur of all the temple buildings. And Jesus says to them, "You see these buildings? Not one stone will be left on another. All of this will be demolished by God." Jesus is hot. He is angry at what He has found in Jerusalem. He is seething mad at what He has found in the temple. The temple that was supposed to bear the name of God and bring the glory of God to the nations was running God's name through the mud. And the name of God oppressing the poor, the widows, the orphans, taking advantage of the people, all in the name of some sort of false piety about being better than others and keeping up false appearances. It seems that nothing in the gospel stories angers Jesus more than this one thing: hypocrisy. Jesus can't stand hypocrisy. When people say one thing and do and live something else. In fact, we may not even realize it, and maybe even God's people didn't realize it, but the very second commandment that God had given to Moses was all about hypocrisy. Think. Do not take the name of the Lord in vain. Oh, well, maybe we've been told, and maybe the way that the Israelites understood it themselves was, oh, we just won't use God's name when we're mad, when we stub our toe. We won't say God's name. No, that's not the point of the second commandment. Do not take the name of the Lord in vain. Do not bear God's name upon yourself. I am a Christian. And then go into the world and bring shame to that name. That's what the second commandment was always about. Hypocrisy. Taking God's name upon yourself and then making a mockery of God by how you live. That's what the second commandment is about. Not about saying God's name when you're mad. It's about bearing God's name in our lives. And then when people see us in the world, they say, well, if that's what a Christian is like, no, thank you. Hypocrisy is angering Jesus, and it's always angered God. As we confront this text this morning, I think we start by where Jesus starts. He is most angry at the hypocrisy of the leaders, the biblical scholars, the biblical teachers of his day. And I believe in the same way, that's where God's anger would start with us. All those who call themselves pastor, reverend doctor, who bear the name of Christ and yet go into the world making a mockery of that name. Teaching people in ways that actually lead them away from Jesus. Converting people to their side just to turn them into children of hell. The anger and wrath of God towards the teachers of the Bible is probably not greater than any other. Are the teachers, the biblical scholars, the teachers, the pastors of our world, are they being faithful to their task? Or would Jesus step in with words of fire as he does in Matthew 23 for them, for me? But even if you're not a biblical teacher, you're not off the hook by this text. We have to pause and let Jesus' challenge to hypocrisy sink deep. Maybe our lives look a lot more like these Pharisees and biblical scholars than we'd like to admit. Are we the kind of people who just talk the talk about being followers of Jesus? But when we go out into the world, are we doing and living what we claim to uphold when we sit in this place? And when we do things, do we do it for the status, the notoriety it will get us? Of how people will pat us on the back and say, look what you did for the poor, good job. But inside, we've not changed. And when we convert people to our church family, what do they look like? Are they changed? Or are they just as messed up as they were when they came to us? And maybe even more messed up. Oh, and maybe we give some gifts to the church, but as Jesus says, your tithes are missing the point. A full life of love and justice and faithfulness is what I'm calling you into. Are we missing the true generosity that God is calling us into? And maybe we have our pet single issues as Jesus attacks them for. We love to strain a gnat while swallowing a camel. That we love our single issues, certain hot button issues that we get all fired up about. Oh, those, fill in the blank. And we're missing the big picture. Oh, and do we gather and praise the name of Jesus? Go, Jesus. Go, prophets. But maybe we celebrate their deaths. Maybe we're glad Jesus was killed. Maybe we're glad the prophets aren't here to stick their fingers into our lives? Do we praise Jesus and then ignore what he says as we go about our days? It hurts to stop and think about our hypocrisy. It really does. But Jesus confronts our hypocrisy, confronts the hypocrisy of the temple, because Jesus has nothing but love for the people who are entangled in their hypocrisy. As Jesus comes to us with words of fire, setting our lives and consciences aflame this morning, he comes because he wants to burn up the garbage in our lives. He wants to set us free from our two-faced hypocrisy. Nobody likes when the fire is raging through their lives, but the fire brings cleansing. The fire is God's act of love to break us out of our self-destructive patterns. Hypocrisy not only destroys ourselves, worst of all, it destroys God's name in the world. I can't even begin to count the number of people that I have encountered who want nothing to do with the church because of this single issue, hypocrisy. They've met the people of the church and they say, why would I want to be like those arrogant, stuck up, self-centered people that only care about their hot button issues? Churches are dying. Churches are being shut down in large part because of our hypocrisy. So may the fire of Jesus' word run wild in our lives this morning. May the fire of his word run wild through our lives through Lent. This is a fire of love. It is burning up the garbage, the hypocrisy in our lives. God loves us so much that he walks into our temples, our sacred places, and he calls us out. And he says, you hypocrites, change your ways or be condemned. May we be humbled and broken down by the word of Jesus. May we leave behind the chasing of the world's ways. And after the fire is raged in our lives, may God send us his word to build us up again as the kind of people who walk the walk, who practice what we preach, who are a proud witness for God in the world, where God would say, those are my children. Look how they bear my name beautifully to a world that needs it. May the love of God burn us down and build us up again. Amen.